Hello and welcome to What Page Are You On? This is a books podcast between me, Alice Slater, and Bethany Rutter that came about because of the amazing feedback to the episode of Bethany's Hello Friend podcast that we did together, in which we discussed our favourite summer reads.
This is the first episode, and we thought it would be good to start with a topic that we know well as fat ladies, books that have a high fat content. Before we get into the main chat, I just wanted to let you know that in this episode, we talk about rape in relation to Roxane Gay's book Hunger, and we also mention, not super explicitly, the idea of eating disorders. So how do we want to do this?
So do we want to start with the book that inspired the episode?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's start with the book that inspired the episode, which was Hunger by Roxane Gay, which is a book that we've both read and came out this summer.
So Hunger is Roxane Gay's memoir about her body. Much anticipated. She's an amazing writer. And her writing on fatness was something that we were both really intrigued and excited to read.
Yeah, partly because I read Bad Feminist when it came out, and I was really surprised by how little she talks about the fact that she's fat. And I was like, I know that she's fat, and I know that she's really fat. And so I was like, oh, is this just me being like a stupid white woman and thinking that like being fat is important?
Looking for you in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas for her, it's actually not an important part of her personality or her life. But now I realize it was probably because she was saving all the material for Hunger, and that being fat is really important to her life.
And in an unexpected way as well, I didn't know her story.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't actually know anything about her. Like, I follow her on Twitter. I know that she is a great writer. I didn't know the context of her body.
Yeah.
Which feels like a very strange thing to even say, but that was something that I wasn't expecting in this memoir. I don't know how much that we want to even say about.
I think a lot of people do know the backstory of Roxane Gay, and I don't feel like that would be a spoiler to the book.
Well, I think the fact that she's very frank about the reason that she's fat. She intentionally put on weight to make herself feel safer, to make herself feel more invisible.
To men specifically.
Yeah. Because as a 12-year-old, she was attacked. Because I read so much fiction that has fat characters, it's an area that I'm interested in. It's something that I'm, you know, kind of always have my eyes peeled for. Reading a memoir, she is very explicit about why she is fat. And it isn't a... I'm really struggling to articulate this. What I'm trying to say is that in fiction, if there is a reason, it's something metaphorical and clunky. And obviously real life isn't like fiction.
Yeah.
So to have such a kind of neat answer as to why she is fat, which for her is because of her overeating, because of what happened to her when she was 12... That was quite shocking to me for her to just have a psychological answer to something that I think most books, if they approach it, will do something which I don't think is cool
or realistic.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that Hunger was really interesting, especially in relation to another book that we said we could talk about, which unfortunately you have not read, but that's okay.
I didn't get around to it.
We also talked about this book in relation to Shrill by Lindy West, and I feel like they are real opposites in some ways, in that Roxane Gay's book is, you basically, I mean, I remember when I read it, I would take pictures of a couple of pages and like tweet sections that I thought were interesting, but it's actually a very specific book to Roxane Gay. Like, it isn't a universal book about fatness.
Mm.
Whereas I feel like Shrill, it's maybe more relatable because it's just like, I'm fat, whatever. That's more in the kind of lineage of the kind of stuff that we consume in journalism and whatever about fatness and like cool fat ladies writing about their bodies. But Roxane Gay's is so unrelatable because it is so specifically about her. And I think because it's so different to the way that we often read about and talk about and write about our bodies and the bodies of women like us, it's so useful. It's so interesting to have this extremely different perspective. I really liked it for that reason.
And also because it didn't at any point lean on humour.
Yeah, it's just
very
dark.
It's a serious, very dark narrative. I think a lot of the other books, a lot of the other nonfiction I can think of written by fat women has been marketed as being funny.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking of Amy Schumer. Had a book that I never read it, but that was, I think, was kind of marketed, you know, because she's a comedian, so you expect it to be funny.
I bet she'd hate it that you lumped her in with other fat women, or that even implied that she's fat.
Deal with it, Amy. Sorry. Yeah.
Either you are or you ain't.
Yeah. So that, I think, not that, obviously I didn't expect Hunger to be a laugh riot. It's just I realized as I was reading it that it was the first time I had read something about fat that was serious, that was traditionally published.
Yeah.
We get articles like that online all the time, and they're really valuable and interesting, but I'd never seen something available in a bookshop that approached fatness in that way.
Yeah, and I was concerned that, I don't know, from things that I'd heard from other writers or other fat women or whatever, that I was kind of worried that she would universalize her experience and say, like, all women are eating themselves into fatness as a response to trauma. Like, women are deliberately making themselves unlovable because they've been traumatized or whatever. But I really found it really was a memoir. Like, it is specifically only about Roxane Gay. And I thought it was really interesting and refreshing for her to be like, I am not an acceptable kind of fat. I'm not Elaine Bryant fat. I cannot shop. You know, buying clothes is not really something that I even think about. It's not important to me. So I think it was like good for me as someone who she would call like Elaine Bryant fat, to read something that is so different from my experiences. And it's just not, it's not about me, it's about Roxane Gay. It's not a memoir in which fat women will find themselves. It's about like a really specific experience that one woman had.
But some fat women will find themselves in it.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just not universalizing at all. Like, it really, yeah, whereas I feel like many people could read Lindy West's book and be like, yeah, I recognize
hashtag
that.
Relatable.
Yeah, relatable.
Yeah.
Whereas there was something so much darker and spikier about Hunger.
And then, you know, it does strike me as you were saying that. I was thinking, yeah, we shelve in the bookshop, so it goes, we shelve Hunger in the feminist section. It was never shelved in biography. I mean, maybe smaller shops do shelve in biography, but that's obviously where it should be, because it's not talking about the body as an abstract. It's talking about her specific, her body and her life.
That's such a strange decision. I mean, I would put Shrill there. I'd put Shrill in there, like...
Shrill was in biography.
The fuck?
I know, and
that's completely
find
the opposite.
Anyway.
That's, like, the wrong way around. Although, what I would say, having read Shrill, she is at her most interesting when she is talking about things that have happened to her. Lindy West in Shrill, it begins, and I'm like, fucking hell. This was exactly what happened when I read it the first time, because I reread it this week to be able to talk about it today. And I remember when I read it the first time, I was like, I hate this book. I fucking hate this book. Because when it begins, it's just so, like, a million miles an hour. Like, it's like she's writing a blog post, and it's really kind of... And I know this is a word that women don't like to use about other women, but it's hysterical. Like, it's really, like, up and, like, and it's so hard to read. It's at this pace that I just found completely unbearable. And then as it moves along and she starts actually talking about her life and like these some particularly unpleasant experiences that she's had, it gets so much better. But they're still grounded in like, this happened to me because I was a woman. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that means that it should be shelved in feminism because it's not pure biography at all.
See, this makes me wonder if... how Shrill was written. Like, was Shrill written, is it a collection of essays, or did she write it as like, or was everything in that book written to be published as a book? Because Hunger is really interesting because a lot of the content are actually essays that she's written have been published elsewhere over quite a long period of time, but it doesn't necessarily read that way.
No, I would never have thought that. I thought that she would have written that all in one go.
Yeah, I only know that because I clocked at the back where and kind of credited previous publications that bits and pieces had appeared in.
Interesting.
So I wonder if Shrill was written. I wonder if that's why there's a change in the tone. I wonder if some of it actually was written for kind of internet consumption.
Yeah. Because at the beginning, I think the first chapter is about like the fat role model she had growing up and how it was literally like a character in the Disney Robin Hood and things that were not real. The chicken and like Miss Piggy and things that are not real, mm-hmm. like not human. and how weird that is. And obviously, like, that's a true point. Yep, I get that. It's just written in this way that I was like, I have a headache from reading this. But then when she's writing about, like, the experience that she had as a, like, female comedy expert and sometime comedian, talking about, do you remember, like, the Daniel Tosh rape joke situation a few years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just how that has basically ruined her life by flinging her into the public eye and becoming known as, like, a woman that doesn't think rape jokes are funny, and being subjected to, like, all kinds of internet abuse and real life abuse sometimes. And what that then led to is so interesting, because that's a thing that doesn't happen to everyone, but, like, I am afraid of something like that happening to me, like, being exposed to, like, millions of trolls who hate women and, you know.
Which, you know what, like, I hate to say it because I know he is not a popular name, but John Ronson's book, So You Have Been Publicly Shamed, does say some interesting shit about that kind of thing.
Yeah, I haven't read it. Maybe I will.
I read it in, like, an afternoon. It's a really quick read. And, yeah, I think there is a lot of interesting stuff to examine about how publicly mistakes, or even just controversial opinions, or even just standing up for something you believe in but that isn't particularly popular.
Yeah, like, she didn't do anything wrong. Like, Lindy West literally did nothing wrong, other than was just like, you shouldn't make a rape joke and then say that you're gonna rape the girl that said it was not okay in a comedy club. Like, that's literally what she did. And so now she's like, I think even now she still gets trolled, and I assume that's part of why she's not on Twitter anymore. But
what a horrific state of affairs.
Yeah, I know, it's wild. And when you read about, like, what actually happened to her and all the situation she was put in to defend it and blah, blah, blah.
So, sorry, is that all in Shrill?
This is all in Shrill. Yeah, because I haven't really consumed Lindy West outside of Shrill, whereas I have consumed Roxane Gay outside of Hunger. But yeah, I found her much more readable and much more interesting when it was, like, serious shit from her life. Which she still writes in a really, like, readable, pleasant way. It's not like she suddenly changes her style or whatever. It was just way too much in the beginning, when it wasn't really about anything in particular, but then it calms down. So if you begin reading Shrill and you don't like it, I would persist, because I've done that twice and I benefited from it.
I wish I'd got around to reading it.
I have it in my bag. I will give it to you.
All right, sweet.
When this is over. Wait, but I turned over a corner in it, and I can't remember why, so I'm going to get it out of my bag.
Oh, please.
And I'm going to have a look at it.
Great cover design, though.
Yeah, it's cool.
I love the pink and grey.
Me too.
Of the hardback, the paperback is a different colour.
Oh, yeah, so this is when I said that I found Lindy West's stuff a lot more relatable than Roxane Gay is, because it feels like she makes statements that a lot of, like, fat women can relate to, whereas Roxane Gay I can't relate to at all, because it's such a different experience to what I've had. I like this bit about why she wanted to get married, which I don't specifically relate to, but I get the, like, mindset behind it, which said, I grew up assuming that I would never get married because marriage was for thin women, the kind of women who deserve to be collected. How could I be a bride when I was already what men most feared their wives would become? I was the mise en place for a midlife crisis. I was the ghost of adultery future. At least that's what I've been taught. Which I thought was really, like, hashtag relatable.
Yeah, God.
And there's a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah, particularly, like, kind of the bridal theme, which is obviously one that we all come across quite often, particularly when we have friends who might be getting married or
and go on their wild diets.
Yeah, or, like, the tedious onslaught of wedding diet advice that the, you know, women's press put out every year. But we don't always necessarily examine, like, I remember that blog post, one of the first ones that you wrote about fatness on Arched Eyebrow, where you talked about that your life doesn't begin when you're thin.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's
yeah.
exactly what that makes me think of.
Yeah,
like feeling like, well, I can't get married until I lose weight, or I can't get married because I'm fat.
Yeah, yeah,
or as, like, though the things have any kind of correlation.
Yeah, as though like, marriage is not for women like you. So if you're going to get married, you have to look like the kind of woman that gets married, even if you already have a partner that wants to be with you for the rest of their lives.
Which is that I think is always the most wild part of it to me, because I just think. But you're already in a relationship with someone you want to spend the rest of your life with.
Who wants to spend the rest of their life with you, who knows what you look like, who knows that you're fat.
Like, they've seen it, man. Like, they know what their signing up for, you know? Yeah. I always kind of feel so sorry for people who don't trust their partner's attraction to them.
Yeah.
Mate.
It's a thing. That's the kind of thing that I mean in Lindy West, where you read it and you're like, yes, relatable.
Mm.
And, you know, maybe that's what her writing is like on Jezebel and whatever. But I thought one of the most interesting sections in that book that I really remember from when I read it when it came out was about, it's actually really a really nice chapter, even though it's kind of sounds like a traumatic experience for her, which is that when she worked at The Stranger, which is like the Seattle newspaper, or like it's like a publication for Seattle, and Dan Savage was the editor, and he was on this big like obesity crisis kick, and she worked directly under him, and just about the disconnect between like how someone that she saw pretty much every day could write all this like really, really hateful and graphic stuff about fat people and still work with her. And although there isn't really any evidence in the book of him changing, she says he has, and he has like softened on it and come around and whatever. And she's just like, you know, it just goes to show that you can change your mind and you can do better and whatever. But I thought that was really interesting as well. I was like, being in a hostile work environment with someone that you know hates people like you, even if they don't hate you, and how, what a, yeah, mismatch that is. And this kind of reminds me of the article that I read this weekend, which was on the cover of The Observer magazine. Did you see it?
No, I don't think so.
So it is related to a book that is coming out in France.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Written by a woman called Gabrielle Dadier. And I don't think it's been published in the UK.
Not yet. I did check.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It sounds kind of wild. And like, obviously, I think France is like particularly bullshit for this kind of thing. But I would like to read that book. I would definitely like to read that book.
I would, because that's something that I found interesting about hunger, is like fat camps and the way that the kind of American healthcare system and the way that her parents kind of approached her weight loss, which I think it's important to note that Roxane Gay does talk about aspiring towards. It's something that she always wanted for herself.
Yeah.
But would then, as soon as she had any progress, kind of panic about becoming
more
visible again, yeah, and desirable, and would kind of regress back to comfort eating. So I think, yeah, that's something really interesting, seeing how kind of America, that American experience of being plus size, kind of affected her growing up. I would be really interested in reading this French book, because again, it sounds like a completely different environment.
Yeah, and
something
like a specific,
that I can't fathom.
Yeah, a specific experience because she was French. But like that, I think a lot of that revolves around the fact that in her workplace, she worked under someone who thought she was not fit to be a teacher because she was fat. And it's just so, you know, wild. And I would like to read that book. And it feels like that's vaguely similar to the Lindy West experience with Dan Savage, and workplace hostility, and are you fit to do your job because you're fat, and feeling out of place because you're fat. I want to read it.
Me too. I hope they find a translator. Get it, because that's the thing, it hasn't even been translated. It's only available in French.
Maybe
so you
could
get
it.
I was gonna say, you could get a copy
and then I'll translate it.
Translate it to me as a bedtime story.
Okay, cool. I'll ring you up every night.
I would love that. I want to talk about fat in fiction as well.
Yeah, because all we've talked about is like real life fat ladies writing about being fat. But and we like, don't always have that. Sometimes we have real life fat ladies writing about being fat in fiction. But we also have real life non-fat people writing about being fat in fiction. So we have like a lot to discuss.
There is so much. But the thing is, I don't know about you, but I can't think of a single adult fiction, a single title that has a fat character in it that I didn't find in some way hurtful or problematic.
Maybe you're right.
I'm thinking
about
anything?
It and I'm like, who's like a cool adult fat character?
Like, I think the first person that everyone always thinks of is Bridget Jones, but just next, like, just
give
skip
a
it.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's not really fat.
No, well, her whole thing is weight loss.
Yeah.
It's not actually being fat, it's about the desiring thinness. And we can all think of a dozen books that have that kind of content.
And also Bridget Jones is meant to be relatable to all women, mm-hmm, not just fat women.
Yeah.
So it's meant to be a thing that women recognize, writing their weight in their diary and how far they are from their goal weight and blah, blah, blah.
And then it's supposed to be funny because then it's Christmas and she eats too many mince pies diets out the window. It's just, nah.
It's not for fat women. It's not about fat women. It's like a universalized bullshit female experience.
Another book I can think of that has a fat protagonist, but I bet that unless you've read this book, you wouldn't fucking know she was fat. Stephen King's Carrie is a fat character.
That's wild.
This is my fact that I like to crack out. She is fat. She is explicitly fat. Within the first 15 pages of that book, it is mentioned, I think, half a dozen times that she is fat. But every single movie adaptation, she is thin.
You know who's not fucking fat? Sissy Spacek. She's really thin.
Famously. But, and I honestly think it's because, and this is, it just blows my mind, but I think it is because by the end of that movie, you have to be rooting for her. It's horrific what she does. The massacre is horrific, but
you have to understand
she's a victim.
Why. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that filmmakers, first of all, we don't want to have fat characters on TV, on cinema screens. In that kind of role, if it's not about her fatness, then she may as well be thin, I think is the kind of thinking behind it.
Because being fat turns people off and they don't want to watch it.
And they wouldn't be rooting for her.
Yeah.
It's bullshit, mate.
So I haven't read Carrie and I've only seen it quite a long time ago. But is it important that she's fat or is it not important? Is it a thing that like explains why she's bullied? Is that almost why she's fat?
No, the reason that she's fat is because, and this is in Stephen King's memoir on writing.
Which I have and I have started reading but haven't finished. I'm really looking forward to it.
So good. Yeah. I really love it. But he's explicit that she is an amalgamation of two girls that he went to high school with.
Okay, cool.
One was thin and had this like particular outfit that she wore every single day, and the other was fat, and there was other things about her that made her memorable. So he just kind of melded these two real girls together. Her fatness, to be fair, it's not directly relevant to the plot. It's one of the ways that she's bullied, but she's bullied for lots of different reasons.
But that's cool. I think cool that her fatness is not relevant to the plot. That's what I want to read more of.
That's why I'm saying, like, to be fair, because from a Hollywood perspective, it doesn't radically change anything by making her thin, but
it would radically change things to keep her fat.
Yeah.
To have a fat character in film that is a main character in a horror film. Like, that's what don't know anything else like that.
Nothing like that, because I think whenever fat characters are in horror movies, it is either to do something grotesque, it involves some kind of body horror, or they are punished in a very specific way because of their bodies.
Yeah, or it's like a middle-aged female character. You don't get young fat women. Like, you get like Kathy Bates and Margot Martindale and whatever.
But that's it, like Kathy Bates. So Misery, again, she is fat, but that is intentional to make her repulsive.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I read Carrie 15 years ago. I reread the beginning when I realized, like, when I started thinking about fat characters, I realized, holy shit, wasn't Carrie white fat? So I don't know, maybe there is some like more problematic content that I'm kind of forgetting. But I do think that with Misery, Kathy Bates' character, whose name I can't remember, and Carrie, their fatness is there to make them unattractive.
Yeah.
So with Carrie, it is supposed to be like a massive deal that the cool jock, Tommy Ross, asks her to the prom. And I think it just reinforces the fact that this would never have happened.
That it was always clearly a joke, because why would?
It wasn't a joke. No, it's a bet. No, it's not a bet. Because his girlfriend is Susan Snell, the one who... so you know the whole like tampon throwing scene.
Yeah,
it's like the nice
plug
girl.
Plug it up.
So the nice girl gets swept away with it all. So she, because she is the only one who feels any remorse, she convinces her boyfriend to take Carrie to the prom, give her like a nice experience, kind thing.
So but it Carrie, wasn't a joke. Okay, yeah.
But Carrie thinks it's a joke because on the same night, as we know, the Regina George character, whatever her name is, she gets her boyfriend, John Travolta, to do the pig's blood thing.
Do you think John Travolta was already a Scientologist then?
Oh my God, we'll never know.
Probably.
We'll never know.
He came out of the womb a Scientologist. But yeah, plot twist, Carrie is fat. I didn't know that until Alice told me.
Long story short, I'm telling everyone.
Yeah, also telling everyone. The friend who gave me the copy of On Writing, who was Will Dean, who was the last guest on Hello Friends season one, I said to him, did you know Carrie's fat? Alice just told me, it's huge news. I literally say this to everyone who brings up Stephen King. I think I did it last night to my friend Fiona, Yeah. And she was like, yeah, I did know that because I reread it this year. And I was like, well, I didn't because I haven't read it.
I might start just like tweet like on Twitter, just like search terms, just searching out Stephen King Carrie and just atting strangers like, she's fat.
Did you know? FYI. But yeah, she really stands alone in adult fiction as a fat protagonist.
But this can't be true.
It literally can't be true. So please, please get in touch with us if you... if you can think of someone, like we
what
do
are we,
know.
Who are we not thinking of? Because,
and we only want to know about women because men are allowed to be fat.
Yeah. But whereas young adult fiction is a completely different ballpark.
Yes. Dumplin' by Julie Murphy.
Oh, Dumplin'.
Which is a lovely book, and Julie Murphy seems like a lovely person, and I want her to do well.
Yeah, me too. That book. So Dumplin' is about a teenager, fat teenager in Texas who lives in a neighborhood or in a state that's very beauty pageant oriented. And so she basically signs up to the pageant out of spite. It's brilliant.
Yeah. To like annoy her mum, which is a really good reason to do anything. I really like Dumplin'.
And because it's got so much heart without ever being cheesy. It doesn't have like, I was gonna say it doesn't have a kind of like a strong cheesy message, but of course it does. That's the whole book is a message.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like,
but it's good.
I don't know, it doesn't really go the way I thought it was going to.
Where did you think it would go?
I don't know. I don't want to spoiler it, though.
Yeah, no, don't spoil it.
Because I think with nonfiction, I think it's okay to talk about the specifics. But with fiction, I'm like, I think people might read this book. And yeah. I think they should. But it didn't, yeah, it didn't go the way I thought it would. I really liked her. I think it's a really, really great book. And I would like to read more books like it.
So, because I was thinking on my way here, I was thinking about other fat protagonists from the books that I read, particularly when I was a teenager. And the ones that spring to mind were Ellie from Jacqueline Wilson.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Who are you thinking
of? I was thinking of Angus Thong, The Full Frontal Snogging.
Who's Ellie in that?
That's not her name. George.
She's thin.
Is she?
Yeah.
I guess I always interpreted her as being fat because I related to her.
See, that to me is beautiful.
Yeah.
Because why not?
I was just like, yeah, she must be fat. She's weird.
No, she's thin.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm wrong. Ellie from Girls in Love, Girls Under Pressure, yeah. Girls on a Mission. I don't know what that was called.
Girls on Tour.
Yeah. I can't remember what the other one's called, but...
I think it's Girls Out Late.
Oh, yeah. It's Girls After Dark.
So there's her. And then there was Stephanie from the Judy Blume...
I've never read a Judy Blume book. Isn't that wild? I should have read that period. Oh, no, wait, it's not periods, it's virginity. I knew it was something about vaginas.
But there is a period one as well. So there's Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret, which is the puberty one. And then there's Forever, which is the sexy one.
I want to read both of them.
They're really good. I have reread them as an adult. I mean, to write about fat. To be fair, to write about fat and young adult. But they're amazing. They're great.
Cool. And do they treat the fat characters well?
Well, this is what I think is really interesting. Considering, so the book with Stephanie. Stephanie's in two books. One is called His U.H. Robinson, where she's a side character. And then she's the main character in Just As Long As We're Together. And in that book, what's really interesting is that her weight comes up constantly. She's chubby. And she has this very kind of like childlike indifference to her nudity. She's very like comfortable with herself. She's very unself-conscious. Her parents get a divorce and she keeps it secret because she's not very good at talking about things that are painful.
Grown-up things.
Yeah. So, and quite often in the book, you see her shy away from difficult conversations. So it's not surprising that she keeps this to herself. But she starts to comfort eat. And as she starts to gain weight, what I thought was really interesting is that she's unhappy, but it's because her parents are getting divorced.
Yeah.
And then her body is changing. And obviously it's not just that she's gaining weight. She's also 13. So she's growing breasts and her hips are coming out. It felt very explicit that what she is unhappy about is all this change that's happening too quick. And even though her family are constantly kind of encouraging her to diet and exercise, she never kind of starts, she never hates herself. There's never a moment where she looks at her body and hates it.
Yeah. It's just part of a bigger malaise.
Yeah, and as a teenager, I related to that because I never hated my body, but I was aware that my body was different.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that, because I think one thing about the Jacqueline Wilson books is that has some like eating disorder content. Yeah. So I'm always interested in like characters that are allowed to just be fat, and it's not to make like, it's not so that they can be an issue. They're not like an issue-based character where it's like, this is the character through which we learn about eating disorders.
Even
like,
then, though, you know what? I will actually forgive Jacqueline Wilson because it's the second book that goes down that road.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
The first one is actually, it's focusing on love, and it's her desire to have a boyfriend when her friends are starting to date and meet guys and she feels left behind, so she makes one up. No, she like pretends she has a relationship with this like kind of nerdy boy that she meets on holiday in Wales. Who I always thought seemed like a catch.
Yeah. I love a made-up
Dan
boyfriend.
Dan and his cagoule.
I don't remember this at all.
Do you not?
No, I read it when I was like a teenager, and maybe I should reread it.
I think I still have them all. I'll lend them to you. But so I think I kind of forgive the fact that one of those books is an eating disorder book, because we do need to talk about eating disorders as well. Like, it's a valid...
It's a real thing.
Yeah. And I think what was interesting about it is that it doesn't actually go too dark. I don't know. I think the eating disorder narrative, as Ellie is becoming unwell, she notices that another girl in her school in the year above is anorexic. And so you kind of have this, like, it's like a wake-up call for her. I don't know how realistic that actually is, but I forgive it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I just remember reading it as a teenager and being like, I'd really like to read a book where, like, because that was the only book I read as a teenager that I think had an explicitly fat character. And I was like, I want to read a book that I relate to. And I don't relate to this. But obviously some people probably did relate to it. I'm a selfish little baby. Yeah, I just want to read shit about me, which... I think it's reasonable, but also, you know, it can't all be about me.
The reason why I was rereading these books was because I was working on an article that ended up not being published about fat in young adult fiction. And I turned to Twitter asking, like, for recommendations. And loads of people recommended this 80s book called The Cat Ate My Gym Shorts. And I remember reading that one as an adult. And it was exactly what we're talking about. Like, this character, she almost... doesn't consider herself to be a real person because she's fat. She calls herself a blimp. She's like, so she constantly says, like, what does a blimp know about love or boys or relationships? And there was something just so sad about it.
Was it written by a fat woman?
You know what? I don't know. Her name's Paula Danziger, I think. Something like that.
Yeah. I remember that name from my youth. Because, you know, I don't think that only fat women should write fat characters.
Absolutely.
But I think if the point of your book is to make a point about fat women, don't fucking write it if you're not fat, because you don't know, like, you don't know the many ways in which the fat existence occurs and all of the different elements of it and how different it is from person to person. So if all you think a fat character is good for is to make a point about being, like, aromantic or... eating disorders or mental health or whatever, like, fuck you, and make the point in a better way.
I will say she is fat and she looks like Professor Trelawney.
Yeah, she does. Okay, cool.
I'm into it. Fair dues, man. I mean, but then I guess you never know how I would have received that book if I'd read it as a teenager. And maybe rereading Judy Blume and Jacqueline Wilson, maybe as if I'd read them for the first time as an adult, I would have been more... maybe I would have been more kind of judgmental about some of the things that happened to those characters. Like, I know one thing that I do remember sticking out to me in the Jacqueline Wilson books is that Ellie isn't given any autonomy at all. So when she calls herself fat, her thin friends will berate her for using the word fat.
Yeah.
And they can say, no, you're cuddly, you're cozy, you're comfy, whatever. She's also constantly being grabbed at first, like... someone, I can't remember who it is, I think it's her brother, someone grabs her belly without her consent, and like, to kind of show that she's chubby, and she obviously reacts really badly to that. But then later on, I remember one of her friends does exactly the same thing to see how much weight she's lost, and that actually was really troubling.
Yeah,
but also very realistic.
Your body is not your own.
Yeah.
But I guess the moral of this story is, if there were so many books that had like fat characters, adult and young adult and children's even, we wouldn't be so critical of the ones that exist. It's only because the representations are so few and far between that we want them to be good. We can't afford there to be like mediocre representations or like problematic representations of fat characters, because another book with a fat character might not come along for another like 5 years.
Mm.
I just fed up of being grateful for a book like Dumplin'. I want there to be books like Dumplin' all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, I'm reminded of, in kind of more contemporary young adult literature, a book called Butter that came out maybe 2 years ago.
Is that the one that caused trouble and didn't get released or something? Wait, what book is this? Because I'm thinking of... Yeah.
No, this one definitely got released because I read it. It's her name, the author's called Erin Lang.
Okay, no, that's not what I'm thinking of.
And it's about a boy who is overweight and bullied really badly, and I think he's force-fed some butter, a whole stick of butter, and it's a horrific scene. It's just awful. So he commits to eating himself to death on camera. But because he decides to do this thing, he suddenly gets loads of attention and becomes popular and kind of rethinks his decision. So it's quite a disturbing,
dark book.
Yeah, and not a book written to empower fat teenage boys. But what was really awful about it, and on the whole, I don't think it's an awful book, but something that really stuck out to me and that showed me straight away that this was not written by a fat author, was this this narrator, the way that he talks about women and girls' bodies. And he talks about his first kiss was with a girl that he met at fat camp and says, you know, so she was no swimsuit model. And I was like,
fuck you,
excuse
bitch.
Me? Yeah. But of course, I mean, it's perfectly representative of the fact that he will judge women's bodies in a completely different way to his own. But that, it was repulsive to me.
Yeah, that. I feel like, I don't know if this is like a controversial opinion, but I feel like with young adult stuff, it's much more important to contextualize what is bad for the world.
Yeah.
Because this is at a time when people are like forming their opinions on shit. I think it's much more important to like signpost things that are not meant to be carried into the real world. And this reminded me of a conversation that I had with my dad about a book that he had read, the title of which I cannot remember. You know what I'm talking about, though.
Oh, no, what was it called?
Is it Black Eyed Susans?
No, because that one is really good.
Okay, it's a different one.
This one was called Daisy and Chains.
Daisy and Chains. I knew it had
a flower.
Flower in the title. Where the killer is targeting fat women. And I said to my dad, like, I don't want to read this. And he said, why? And I was like, oh, my friend Alice, who is right here right now, said it was really vile about fat women and, like, I don't want to read it. And he was like, yeah, but isn't that just the same as In Silence of the Lambs, which is exactly the same logic that the killer in Silence of the Lambs employs? And I was like, well, I've read Silence of the Lambs, and I actually don't feel like it treats its fat characters badly. I don't think it talks about... I don't think the author puts fat phobia into the book. I think the only fat phobia that happens is via the way that, like, Buffalo Bill talks about the girls. And I think you can always tell, and I don't know how you can tell, but can't you always tell when the author is fat phobic as opposed to the characters? It's just a way of writing that is so vicious and vile, and it permeates the book. Whereas in Silence of the Lambs, I feel like it doesn't, and it could, but it doesn't.
And I think part of the way that it doesn't is that because it's not in the narrative voice. So like when Clarice Starling talks about the victims, I think it's to Hannibal Lecter, and he's saying like, what dress size were they? And she realizes that's a connection. Yeah. She uses very kind of gentle language.
She says, they were bigger girls.
Yeah.
I can hear Jodie Foster saying it. I've seen that film so many times.
Me too.
And in my mind, it is the book. Like, it is the same.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I feel like actually right now I could be quoting the film. I could be quoting it. It doesn't matter because they are so perfectly in sync. But yeah, like, so that the way that she, and obviously part of like Clarice Starling, part of her kind of vibe is that she is more, she has more empathy and is kind of a lot
what emotionally
is
she? Intelligent.
Yeah, she's got this emotional intellect. So that is in keeping with her character, that she wouldn't be kind of crass about the bodies of these dead women. Whereas in the Daisy in Chains, it is just, it's vile. It's aggressive.
And the way that they are written about.
So remind me, did you say you didn't read it?
I did not read it.
And I was just like, life's too short, man.
Yeah, you didn't recommend it.
There's nothing in there for us. Like, even the reason, so no spoilers, but the reason behind all the murders is just ridiculous and intrinsically quite fatphobic.
So it's almost like the author just was massively fatphobic and was like, how can I convert this into a thriller? Yeah. How can I monetize my fatphobia?
Yeah. And I think you can really tell as well, like, the marketing, they obviously were careful, because the tagline really is fat women are turning up dead. But they didn't go with that.
What did they go with? Why.
I can't even remember, just some bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So yeah, that's what I mean about how, like, contextualizing fatphobic opinions in books and why I think it's important that, especially in young adult fiction, you understand that if there is fatphobia in the book, it's coming from a character that you are not meant to agree with, or someone disagrees with them within the context of the book, rather than it being like the author's voice.
Yeah.
And I felt that that was a really, like, stark contrast between, in two books, which were two thrillers rather than young adult novels, but two thrillers where the killer is targeting fat women. And it just really proved to me that you can write a book that has fatphobia in it, or that people say fatphobic things, or people are motivated by something as sinister as killing fat women, but you get a totally different feeling and flavor from reading the book. Like, as a fat woman, I would never say to someone, don't read Silence of the Lambs because you're fat. Whereas I feel like you said to me, don't read Daisy in Chains because you're fat.
I love that, out of context, that sounds like a really strange thing to say. Don't read Daisy in Chains, mate, because you are fat.
Yeah. But it was good advice. I don't want to read that.
But you know what, though? I think the reason why there's a difference between The Silence of the Lambs and Daisy in Chains is that no one remembers, with Silence of the Lambs, that the victims are all fat. Because it's incidental. It's really, it's for a practical reason. It's, yeah, you know,
it's weirdly, I understand.
Yeah, I was like, I get it.
It is actually really important that they're fat. Yeah. Because how would you make a human suit if their skin didn't shrink?
And you have to fit inside it. I mean, it's horrible. It's really horrible. I get it. But it works, you know.
Buffalo Bill, I do understand you.
Yeah, I get it, man. But whereas with Daisy in Chains, again, this isn't a spoiler, but the reason that they're fat is just because fat phobia. And it's not a book that is saying anything about fat phobia. I think that's the other key thing. It's not saying anything. It's not trying to tackle anything. It's not using the fat experience for any purpose other than because it hasn't been done before. And that's honestly what I think it is. I think that the author was like, ooh.
Gimmick.
Yeah, here's a tagline for you.
Well, gimmick is my fucking life. So. Well, I have had a delightful first episode chat with you, Alice.
Oh, thank you so much. Likewise.
Should we do it again?
Yeah.
Should we record another episode right now?
Should we just do it right now?
Yeah, let's just do it. Well, you probably have to wait a little while to hear it. But in the meantime, I would recommend following us on our Twitter account, which is at whatpagepod. Alice, what is your Twitter username?
I'm at smokintofu.
And I am at Bethany Rutter. And that's where we live on the internet. So tweet us with your thoughts.
Book recommendations.
Yeah, if you've heard us mention something that you'd like to hear more about, or when we said tweet us with other books that have cool fat characters, protagonists, things you think that we missed.
And anything you'd like
it.
To see in the future.
Yeah.
From what page are you on?
So the next episode will be about crime. Crime and Punishment is what I'm titling the episode. But in the future, we have planned a few episodes ahead, but we are really interested in what you want to hear us talk about. So we, as you can kind of tell, we want to kind of talk around a theme, at least at the beginning. So if there are themes that you would like us to deal with, or books that you've read that we could then build an episode around that you want to hear us talk about, please feel free to tweet us, and we will be happy to hear from you. I've had a great time. Alice, have you had a great time?
I've had the time of my life. Let's take some weird selfies and we'll move on to the next one.
Cool. See you next time.
Bye. Bye.